News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
It is already Friday. Having a good time. It's 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on FM Talk, 106.5. Dan, Dalton, there is Sean Sullivan.
Yes, I am.
Our young student who was out of class earlier this week with a cold, he's back now. We're glad to have you back.
Yeah, well, it's good to be back.
Yeah.
And been back for a couple of days now, but, you know, just get back.
And true.
Just in time also for the weekend. And
well, a little bit late. So delayed from yesterday, but way better because even another day's worth of information in the FM Talk 106.5 Fishing Report brought to you by our friends at McCoy Outdoor Company. They're just west of 65 on Spring Hill Avenue, and McCullough Buick GMC just east of 65 on Dolphin Street. And the star of the show, my friend, and El Capitan with A-Team Fishing Adventures. Ladies and gentlemen, the crowd goes wild. Captain Bobby Abrascato.
What an intro, man.
How'd you take
it there?
Good stuff, man. I got to do that because you're sending me pictures this morning of you and some friends doing, well, one of my favorite things in the world to do. No, I'm talking about fishing.
Exactly. Yeah, I can't make these guys throw a cork. I told them, I said, you're not going to catch anything if you're not throwing a voodoo or a shrimp under a cork. And they've thrown topwaters and slicks all morning and put on a clinic for me. So
I mean, there's no better way, Bobby.
They're teaching the teacher.
I don't know if that's possible, but there's a lot of high IQ fishing on that boat right now with that crew. I can tell you that. Now, throwing topwater, explain to folks why we obsess on this. Why is it so special?
Well, mainly to me, it's just because it's so visual and so sudden. Those two things, you know, you get to see it happen, whereas, you know, with other types of lures, you're feeling it happen. With this thing, you're just, you know, you're sitting there watching a lure, and all of a sudden a fish leaves its environment and instantly enters ours in a blink of an eye, you know, and all that happens. And, you know, especially with trout in particular, it's such a violent strike to where it's just so exciting. I take bass fishermen and fishermen from around the country that fish for other species, and they're just awed by the strike of a topwater on a topwater strike from a trout, you know. So I think that's the main reason right there, just because it's so sudden. Plus, it's a little bit of a technical way to fish. You're sacrificing, in a lot of cases, sacrificing numbers for quality, and boy, we had some quality today. You know, we're all sitting here staring at these corks that are tied on that aren't even getting used because we're getting bit on topwater. You know, but so you know, you give up a little bit of numbers, but for the quality and for the action like that. And again, it's kind of a specialized type of fishing. You got to have the right conditions, which we have today. We have some cloud cover, high water. We cycled out of that nip tide, so we're actually getting some water in here now. So, you know, a lot of things came together to do this, plus John and Sam being flat-out hard-headed and not wanting to do anything else. You throw all that in there, and you're going to catch some fish on top water.
Hey, Captain Bobby, not to start the age-old conversations that we'll have there on the deck of the boat or maybe over a dinner, but top water, shallow water game, everybody says, but how, you know, you can do it a little bit deeper. I mean, if people say, how would it go topwater fishing? How deep of water are they fishing in?
About 5 or 6 feet, about as deep as I like to do it in.
And I can do it in 7.
Like Fowl River, for example, is one place where I catch fish on deeper than I normally would topwater fish. But generally speaking, if it's deeper than about 5 or 6 feet, I don't have a lot of confidence in a topwater. You know, I have the boat sitting in 2.5 feet right now, and we're casting up to about 1.5 feet is where the fish are. So that's really the kind of thing I like to fish right there, you know. The other thing that'll do a lot of times that top water is you can get reaction bites from fish that may be on the fence, or if you're throwing something subsurface, you know, they might look at it. But those things, I think sometimes there gets to be a little bit of an attitude with fish, and they see that, and they just flat out, because they're mean, want to hit it, you know. So it's a great lure. A lot of times they just give themselves away, even if you're missing the fish. At least it tells you're around fish.
No, it's the most fun you can do by not even hooking the fish. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's right. Sometimes once they bit and they're on the way in, I just assume they get off, so I don't have to deal with all the hooks and everything.
Right. The fun is the exposure. All right, so if we got people fired up, obviously, to go fishing with you, go catch some fish, but let's talk about going to go topwater fishing, whatever it is. How do they get in touch with the A-Team? How do they set up a trip? Walk us through that process.
ateamfishing.com is the website, and that's by far the easiest way to get in touch with us. You can call us or just go straight through the email there. Real, real easy. Even I can do it. And, you know, that's the easiest way to do it. And I'm going to have some. We got some cool video up there of some Wade trips, and I'm going to have some great pictures from this trip up there sometime soon, too, so you can check out what we're talking about. Should be a pretty good weekend, I guess, if this west wind does what it did today, which blew out of the east. The forecast was the west, and it's blowing out of the east. So if it does that, it ought to be a pretty good weekend to fish.
Well, we'll get out there and get after it, and Captain Bobby, we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, guys, y'all have a great weekend.
We'll do the FM Talk 106.5. And speaking of those pictures, I'm going to send those on. We'll try to put some of those pictures of this morning's fishing up along with the report. The FM Talk 106.5 Fishing Report brought to you by McCoy Outdoor Company and McConnell Buick GMC.
And you got Captain Bobby on that Instagram app, didn't you? Were you the one who got him started there? You pushed him into it.
Nag, push, cajole. Suggest.
Yeah, I think that
I did what I could.
You know, the fishing community on Instagram and Facebook, I mean, pretty much all social media sites, but especially Instagram and Facebook, it's just unreal. It's massive.
Yes, there's a bunch of it out there. And I've talked about this before. I do some of the, we have the FM Talk Instagram page. Mm-hmm. I do have a personal one. Don't talk about a whole bunch because it's not politics. Like if you come on there, like the Twitter page, come in, we talk politics. I live tweeted the January 6th Dance Party Commission thing last night. You could go on there, but that Instagram page is outdoor stuff.
It's
fishing out. If you want to come talk fishing outdoor, it's great. You can find me, Sean Sullivan Radio, on Instagram. There's a lot of us in there interacting on fishing kind of stuff, but leave the politics to Twitter. I kind of like it. Yeah. One room's a kitchen, one room's the bedroom.
Yeah, you're like a barroom brawl on Twitter last night, right?
Me, a little bit. I just have some commentary.
Let's talk about that, because with that January 6th hearing last night, which I watched stem to stern.
Actually, yes, I don't think... everybody, let's score it like... 10 is perfect decorum and the federal government doing what it should do in its own oversight of players in that system. 0 is a clown show mixed with Demolition Derby mixed with a Mel Brooks musical.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's 0 and 10 is perfect. So where did you score it last night?
I thought it did feel like a congressional hearing. Mm-hmm. And by saying that, I mean the first 45 minutes were just downright boring to get down to it. Because, you know, with the promises that were made, was it James Goldston, the former ABC News producer? They said, basically they were like, get your popcorn ready. Yeah. And if you got your popcorn ready, you had eaten it and probably fallen asleep by the time they got to any real action last night. And I think part of that was by starting it with the committee leader, Bendy Thompson out of Mississippi, which I wonder, you know, To act like this is a completely nonpartisan committee, which I don't even think the committee members, maybe they try to pass that off. But remember, Bendy Thompson voted to decertify the 2004 election, which was the George W. Bush, John Kerry election. He's also called Herman Thomas and Uncle Tom. Yeah. I mean, it's hard for me to take a committee as seriously as they want to be taken when he's leading the committee, and a couple seats to his right is Adam Schiff, who really, there should be an ongoing committee investigation on the Russian collusion thing that Adam Schiff played maybe one of the most main parts in. So, I mean, to just start, it's a very partisan commission, but as far as the tone, it felt like a congressional.
How many members of Congress should be investigated for something at this point? So you've got, it's kind of a clown show from that aspect. Like you have all these players in there that are trying to be righteous and trying to put on airs like that. And you're thinking, you know what, who are you?
Right.
Where was that investigation about you that suddenly disappeared? What's going on here? So I missed the first 20 minutes or so on a personal phone call.
You didn't miss
So Dalton told me you didn't miss a thing.
No.
Yeah, so
it started with slavery, of course.
Yes.
It always starts with racial tones. Mm-hmm. But I will say there were some pretty dramatic moments. And not to say that January 6th, that day, wasn't a brutal day. I mean, that looked like hand-to-hand combat. There wasn't many firearms that were being fired during this hand-to-hand combat. There was one. There was one protester who was shot and killed. No mention of that last night.
Yeah.
But I will say all the footage, they said some of it was unseen footage. I imagine a lot of that was the body cam stuff.
It's like, okay, they said unseen footage. And I guess semantically they're accurate, but it's like if you and I go, if Dan is hitting the golf ball, and you're filming from one side, and I'm filming from the other.
Yeah.
Your film of Dan hitting the golf ball has been everywhere. But then tonight we release, and it's just me showing you the
different
backside
angle
of the same
yeah.
shot.
By the way, me hitting a golf ball, just as brutal.
Yeah, it could be. It should be commissioned to look into it.
Yeah.
But it just, so, I mean, some of that footage I hadn't seen, like, inside mm-hmm. security camera, but some of that footage was just another shot of it, which was horrible stuff. And you know, got rounded around with people on Twitter last night. Remember, we're the people that came in here when that went on, took Feinbaum off air, you know, called Paul and said, I can't have you on right now. Right. We got this going on. He said, I get it. You know, I mean, he's talking sports. And
we immediately started calling contacts who were there.
Right. We had Congressman Carl on the air with us as he's being moved to the secure location. We're talking to people from Mobile that had gone up there that were already leaving, coming back. Mm-hmm. So we were there. Nothing was lost on us on the, I thought it was a big enough deal. And I know that bothers some people, gets under there. Oh, it wasn't a big deal. Yes, it was a big deal. Mm-hmm. A big enough deal that we went live and took a show off the air to do that. At the same time, retelling this story this time later, there's a lot of this is for political effect. There were some things I saw that I thought were new pieces of information. Maybe we can talk about that. But there's a lot of retelling, like you said, new video, new angles of the same story.
And a couple things I had on my mind is, and I actually watched on the channel News Nation. I watched a lot of commentary on Fox News.
I watched on Animal Planet.
Well, that was, I mean, hearing from those lions that decided to chime in.
Yes.
This is a congressional hearing. This has been and is, I guess, still being investigated by the Justice Department. So if there's anyone who's going to press charges, it would be the Justice Department, right? And I would like to know, we can all guess what the intent of this committee is, and I think most of us would be accurate, that this is probably a major intent to taint President Donald Trump's name and also the GOP who in any form or fashion don't totally rebuke what happened
day.
But I want them to say, this is what we want from the hearing. And George Will, he talked about this some last night. He said, for a congressional hearing, there doesn't really have to be any intent other than just letting the public know what they're able to uncover. But interestingly enough, for his example, he used the Warren Commission. As mm-hmm. He said, and that cleared everything up. And I was thinking, that did not clear everything up.
George Will said that last night?
Yes, he did. So wow. I would like them to say, this is our intent. This is what we want to do. And I guess maybe they want to say, they're trying to say Trump knew about this. The question for me is, okay,
but
can you prove that Donald Trump was helping plan not just the overturning of votes? Because we know that that was that. We know that I think some people had a good case for not certifying the election, because we've seen Democrats do it every election this to vote to decertify and have that conversation keep going on. But did Donald Trump,
do you think it's good when Democrats do that?
I don't think it's good, but I think it's fair game at this point. And
tit for tat game,
I know, but
well, let's impeach every president. Let's do that.
Well, was Donald Trump hands on in sending in the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers to potentially hang Mike Pence? That's the question.
And because you know that's the right thing to take, because that's where I get my bristles up. Because the people that attacked, you know, verbally and you know, wanted to come after Mike Pence, I wouldn't pee on them to put them out, you know, if they were on fire.
Right.
But at the same time, this whole idea that if you want to play this game, and we'll go to the break and come back and talk about it, that it, let's say Trump wasn't. Lord knows I'm not, you know, go back and look at the text. I've been no defender of Trump on every step. When he needs defending, I defend him. When he doesn't, I don't. But was he going to overthrow the government of our republic with a couple hundred, you know, mama's boys dressed in tactical gear or something like that?
As the country watched.
Yeah, is that what's going to overthrow our government? I mean, as we celebrate the military and what those folks can do, were the proud now were they dirtbags trying to cause a big trouble? Yes, but would they actually overthrow our republic? I don't think so.
It was like they were vandals, pretty much,
but not overthrowers.
820, not overthrowers. 821, Dan and Sean and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings, joined by Sean Sullivan as well this morning.
Yeah, I've just held over here. Came in to do a kind of a late run of the fishing report with Captain Bobby, which, by the way, that's up as a podcast. You know, we got this app.
Yes.
So you've heard legend of.
Promoted all the time.
The App Store for iPhone users, Android folks like me, go to Google Play. Just look for FM Talk 106.5, and you'll get our podcast post there first, just like Captain Bobby's report.
Yeah.
So, check it out. That's up and ready to go, and y'all held me over for a few minutes.
So, in regards, we wanted to talk with you about last night's hearing, and I want to get to some texts here. Also, in a little bit, I want to talk about the Alex Jones footage they showed last night. And,
they made it on.
How I think that actually kind of hurt the commission's or their case yesterday, but for some text really quickly. Gary said, started watching it. It literally put me to sleep. Seems less like a hearing and more like judgment has come down so far. This texter says the commission has more in plans. They said, keep watching. Three-phase operation, the riot, only one phase. I would think that they would have, you know, put their best footage first last night just to keep people engaged. But I'm no ABC News executive producer or anything like that.
Not yet.
And Earl says, they were more American than any of y'all. And I presume here, Earl talking about the Proud Boys and the
Proud
Oath
Boys.
Keepers. Yes.
Proud Boys. All right. I'm sorry. It's y'all's show.
Go ahead,
you
man.
You want to chime in? Sure.
Hey, Earl. Earl. Hey, dog. Kiss my ass. So you're talking to, you know, three people here that I would say are just as American as you or anybody who wants to give themselves some branded name and wear some Chinese-made tactical gear to the Capitol to try to look tough. Dude, you know, the people that are real ass-kickers out there, Earl, are not the people that say, look at me, and dress up a part, and they're going to do stuff. To question somebody's patriotism, because I don't think the right thing to do is to show up and go into tactical mode because you disagree with the decision that's made, and to get out there and chant, hang Mike Pence, who is a rule-of-law conservative. He's an example. And I'll tell you somebody else I support, that'll probably peeve you off, too, is Jeff Sessions. Jeff Sessions was a rule-of-law conservative, still is. So, you got this new brand of what's cool conservative, and, because I don't believe in dressing in, magazine-quality tactical gear and showing up at the Capitol, that somehow I'm not as American? Earl, that's a miss.
Earl says everybody there had guts.
Yeah, you know what? Everybody everywhere has guts, unless they've been disemboweled. Isn't that correct?
Yeah.
You're telling me that people that were there that protest. So, and Earl, the funny thing is, I spent last night waiting for the I told the folks on Twitter as I'm fighting with all these screaming liberals on Twitter about what happened. I said, I'm waiting for the conservatives to attack me too, because my whole life I get attacked by both sides, which is good because Bruce Lee had no problem fighting people in front of him and behind him.
You
I like it.
It
makes me excited. makes me tingly. But no, you come out here with this argument. Listen, I support 100% the people protesting there that day. That's something I've done that brings the ire of those liberals on Twitter. At the same time, breaching the Capitol was a stunt that I will not back. Sorry. Whether you dressed up like you're trying to be Charlie Sheen from Navy SEALs or not, it's not real. And there's a lot of people that didn't dress up that have guts that didn't storm the Capitol. All right, I'm going to go have breakfast.
Nicely done. Yeah, that's a good patented Sean rant there.
Goodbye.
And I mentioned the Alex Jones clip from last night.
Yes.
Yeah, I want to talk about how that actually, I think, hurt the commission's case here when we get back.
Got that on. It's right at 8:30. Dan and Dalton and Sean, FM Talk 106.5.
Thank you, Kane. 8:34, FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Congratulations. Made it to Friday. Right now we head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Tommy Davis. Hey, Tommy.
Morning. How are y'all doing out there this morning?
Hey, man, we're having a great time, and it's a great time out of the lot at McConnell. You guys, you've stocked that place.
We have. We've got a little of everything, certified cars. We've got GM products. We've got Mercedes. We've got Cadillacs. We've got Chevrolets. We've got anything you want. If you're tired of going to a dealership somewhere and they won't negotiate any at all, not even $100, and want to charge you just crazy prices and not want to give you anything for your trade, you're at the wrong place. Need to come here at McConnell Automotive. We take care of our customers. We treat you right, and we want your business.
That's for sure, Tommy. And, we have some bad weather on the way this weekend. If someone gets in a fender bender, you have a great body shop there. And if it's a bit more than a fender bender, of course, you can take care of them as well. If someone wants to get in touch, how do they do so?
251-476-4141 or AutoConAutomotive.com. We're here on Dolphin Creek. We're here to take care of our customers.
All right. Thank you, Tommy.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right, that's Tommy Davis. You'll find him. You'll find Louie Ratty. You'll find the whole team at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and, of course, online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Was the most compelling part of last night's presentation to you the attractive woman that gets a head injury?
So that was Capitol Police Officer Caroline Edwards, and she—I would say for sure she's heroic. I mean, obviously— she's a tough son of a gun.
She got back up and back into the game, right?
Right, she did. And the video of her trying
to... I don't know if she's quite as tough as Earl, but she's tough.
The video of her trying to hold back the barricades, which it's interesting. You know, we all call them barricades, I guess. Well, because they are barricades, and that's what we say during Mardi Gras every year. They kept calling them bike racks, which I don't...
Bike racks?
Is there a difference? I'm not exactly sure, but...
Well, bike racks are bike rack.
Right. So I'll keep calling them barricades, but the video of her trying to hold back on those barricades and then getting knocked unconscious, I guess one of my big questions here, and I know there are a lot of questions that need to be answered, but why wasn't there more help for those Capitol Police officers? And remember, part of the... So this Oath Keepers and Proud Boys thing, and I think that footage last night made it pretty clear that while there were, you know, tens of thousands of people there to show their support for President Trump, the real instigators, they made it pretty clear, were for the most part the Proud Boys, and then the Oath Keepers came in a little bit later. And those were the two teams that appeared to actually, you know, have some semblance of a plan and some announced incentive to actually cause violence and maybe overthrow the government in some form or fashion. Again, it's hard to believe when they're not firing weapons into the Capitol. I don't know why that's a sticking point for me, but let's talk about the Proud Boys and Oath Keepers, because there's been this huge debate about, well, who was in charge of Capitol Police, who's in charge for calling in more backup. And certainly, of course, the president can call in backup. And there's also this theory or take, and I know Quinn Hillier pushed back on this the other day, that Nancy Pelosi is in charge of making sure that Capitol Police have everything they need. And really, I know it's more of just Congress. There's a commission specifically in Congress whose job is to make sure that the Capitol Police are prepared for whatever may be coming their way. Well, we know for a fact that Capitol Police had no chance against the mass of people that were there. So one of these clips, and there was no mention of any Fed involvement, maybe some undercover FBI officers who may have possibly even played a role in being within the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers. And that's a part of the narrative, whether they like it or not. So they could dispute that if they had the time, or, you know, they could do like they did last night and not even mention it. Well, one of those clips they played during the hearing last night, where they showed Alex Jones interviewing the leader of the Oath Keepers, Stuart Rhodes. This interview happened prior to, and in that interview that they showed, Rhodes made it pretty clear what his group's plans were, that they were going there to cause trouble. Also, remember the leader of the Proud Boys, I think Tario was his name, wasn't he a couple days prior, or maybe even the day before, he was brought in, at least for questioning. I don't know if they arrested him, but they released him before January 6th, and while he wasn't, I don't think, there at the Capitol that day, they still said he was pretty hands-on through this whole thing. So even here at the station, we knew that things could get pretty wild that day.
By looking at the text line.
So my question is, you know,
how did they not know?
A lot of the video, I think, last night, showed how badly the intelligence apparatus maybe apparently failed at being prepared for exactly what happened. Now, they'll say that, and they did say that Donald Trump did not call in any help the entire time. They said Mike Pence actually was on the phone with Milley, right? Mark Milley, trying to get military help there. But that's a disputed story also. I know on Sean Hannity last night, and there was a report that a few days prior, the Trump, they said the Pentagon first raised the possibility of sending National Guard troops to the Capitol 4 days before the riots, setting in motion a series of rejections by Capitol Police and Democrats that left Congress vulnerable as threats of violence were rising, according to government memos that validate the Trump administration officials' long-held claims. So let me just play this audio. This is, of course, it's on Sean Hannity. I know he's a fan of Trump. They even put up some Sean Hannity texts last night. But this is audio with Trump and several others in his administration, including Mark Meadows, claiming that they sent in help. They asked for help with the National Guard prior to January 6th. So it's a he said, she said situation. And that's kind of what we're not getting with no cross-examination in these hearings. Here's right. that audio.
Four out of the five present in the Oval Office have on this program corroborated our reporting. Take a look for yourself. Did you authorize calling up the Guard, and then it became, the chain of command went to Nancy Pelosi and to the mayor of D.C., Muriel Bowser. Did you, as required by law, authorize that?
100% and attested to by many people, and they turned it down. Nancy Pelosi turned it down.
Mayor Bowser's written refusal, the communications between the leader of the Capitol Police and their chain of command to the DOD refusing our request to allow National Guardsmen and women to stage on January 4 and 5 before January 6th.
Did you both ask for the National Guard to be called up?
Without a doubt, Sean, we've made that very clear, not just once, but on numerous occasions. We wanted to make sure that there was plenty of National Guard on the ready in case there was some kind of violence.
I had a meeting with President Trump on the 3rd of January concerning some international threats. And at the very end, he asked if there were any requests for National Guard support.
What was the president's response to you with regard to the request made by Mayor Bowser?
Fill it and do whatever was necessary to protect the demonstrators.
So, you know, that's audio from the other side, and you can say they're lying, but the other side can also say that the people on that commission were lying last night. So I think that is another huge question that needs to be answered. And then just as far as while we're talking about these Oath Keepers, I'll get this in and we can get to some text and things, but with Caroline Edwards, the police officer who hit her head when she was pushed back against those barricades, remember that big story about the one of the former Oath Keepers chapter leaders and an old friend of Stuart Rhodes who leads the Oath Keepers, Ray Epps? Remember how he was – there was footage of him the day prior talking about – it was like he was almost leading the chance to get into the Capitol the night before. Somebody even called him a Fed that night before just because of his rhetoric. And then he was there at the Capitol – in that scene where Caroline Edwards was pushed backwards and into those stairs,
yeah.
He was there whispering to one of the people who kind of led those charges. It was like he was telling him, go ahead, break through those barricades. In that footage they showed last night, they kind of doctored it. They zoomed in. They didn't show the part with Ray Epps there. And it's not like, you know, maybe that's not a huge part of this, but there are questions there too, because Ray Epps was put on the FBI's riot wanted list initially. He was on there for a couple days. They took him completely off the site. And there have been people arrested and held in jail for much less than what Ray Epps did, including the Republican running for governor of Michigan who was arrested yesterday. And again, there was no – they completely kept him out of the footage. He was never arrested. He was scrubbed from that FBI wanted list.
They zoomed to keep him out of the footage?
They did, in last night's footage. And then he was eventually interviewed after, like, the chorus from the Republicans got loud enough. The committee did interview him, and then they released him. They didn't show any of that footage last night, none of the interview with him or anyone else who may have provided a counter-argument.
Remember the story also that a lot of them were touring the Capitol the day before?
Yeah.
I mean, they were... like on friendly terms in a way?
They were congressmen and women taking people on tours. Yeah.
Some of those that ended up bashing their way in
right.
were on a tour the day before, which is kind of curious a little bit, getting a lay of the land, I guess. But there's no doubt that there were parts of groups that were intent on doing that day. It wasn't just haphazard, things kind of got haywire, right? There were planned attacks. And they happen. Mm-hmm. The real question is, where was the intelligence? Where was the security? Why was it that easily overrun.
Yeah, that's something that I think also...
I mean, where's that conversation?
And maybe it'll have to wait until Republicans, you know, maybe win office after these midterms until some of that starts coming up. Honestly, I don't have a whole lot of faith in that system at this point. Looking at the text line, Matt says, Sean calling it like it is. Loved the Sessions and Pence plug. Pete says, the less than 1% of agitators made up of anarchists... paid leftists, he says, and wacko right-wing extremists are being conflated with the over 99% of average Americans who only showed up to make their voices heard. The breach of the Capitol, Pete says, was every bit as choreographed as the sham hearings. It was a setup. They're investigating their own ruse. This person, unnamed texter, says, I'm with you 100%. I love my country. I'm 100% conservative. But that was nuts. What the Democrats are doing is equally nuts. Damn Yankee says, unfortunately, the FBI cannot be trusted at this point. Pete says, over 50% of the gang planning to kidnap the Michigan governor was FBI. Yeah, that's I believe that's official at this point. And one more from Scotty here. He says, why is this being treated so differently and so much more dramatically than all of the BLM protests over 2020 summer? Perhaps
I can tell you why. It was that was considered kind of a social adjustment, right? That was out of frustration and out of racism, and that was by much of mainstream media, that's the way it was played up.
Right. Scotty says, perhaps I'm just uninformed, but it didn't seem any more violent or ridiculous from what I saw. Not saying one is better than the other, but neither seemed to solve anything. Yeah, and there's no way around it. It was a brutal day, and there was real fighting going on, and people that were actually really hurt during all of that.
And one person killed.
Yeah, and they didn't bring that up either, did they? And so... I don't know. Did anyone's mind change last night? No. Will there be any minds changed before November or before 2024? Again, I say no. So what's the intent of this entire thing? That's my big question.
Well, we know. We kind of know the answer, too. And I don't. So how long is this going to go on, and how close to Election Day itself will any of this be relevant and on the air?
So they said 5 more hearings. The next one will be Monday morning. They said 10, so I'm guessing 10 Eastern. So right after our show on Monday, they'll do hearing number 2. Were they saving more explosive footage for later? I will say the one thing Liz Cheney promised that could be pretty damning, she said, you'll learn that President Donald Trump was basically in line with the people who were asking for Mike Pence to be hanged. What kind of actual evidence do they have as far as that goes? Not sure at this point. She just promised that they would lay that out.
You made a good point, too, because if you had really one big stick of dynamite, why wouldn't you do it on the night that it was on prime time that everybody was talking about, as opposed to 10 o'clock in the afternoon or in the morning when most Americans are working and don't have time to look at that stuff?
Yeah, they didn't even get into the good stuff last night until almost an hour into the programming. So I think a lot of people had already turned it off.
Tuned out, yeah. It is 8:49. Going to chat with...
Brooks Conkle.
Yeah, Brooks Conkle is going to be with us with the Mobile Rundown, and he knows what's going on this weekend. A few events that you may not be aware of. We'll get to that. And anytime, go to themobilerundown.com and find out about events, and you can also add yours. 8:49 with Dan and Dalton. Good morning, y'all. Mobile Mornings. Jeff Four on the way a little after 9.
Thank you, Kane. 8:55 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Brooks Conkle here with the Mobile Rundown. Just a second, quickly, I want to tell you about my good buddies over at Tobias and Comer Law, and maybe you're headed out on the boat this weekend. It's a fun time, also can be very dangerous, and they've got some great tips over at tobiascomerlaw.com, so you don't end up being a statistic. Make sure your vessel properly maintained, has all those safety items you need. Take a boating safety course if you're able, and most importantly, wear your life jackets out there. It's the law for children that are 8 and under to wear a life jacket while on the boat. Everyone on the board a vessel must have a life jacket available for them, and anyone being towed on skis or a tube or riding a jet ski also must wear a life jacket. Be safe out there. They've worked a number of cases involving boating accidents at Tobias Comer Law, and you can find out more information at tobiascomerlaw.com.
Brooks Conkle, the Mobile Rundown. The weekend is here. Brooks, what you got your eye on this weekend?
Hey, guys. Morning. All kinds of stuff going on. We were just talking about that before coming on. There's So Market in the Park still going on until July 9th. So if you haven't gone there, get down to Cathedral Square. It's on Saturday mornings until noon. Yeah. And then so it's Art Walk again. I feel like it was just yesterday, but it's Art Walk again.
Art Walk tonight? Okay.
And then we're talking about Footloose. So we're talking about this this musical coming up at JJP, J. Jefferson Players.
Yeah.
With the angry reverend that does not like music and dancing in his town, and so that's going to be going on for a while.
And Brooks, you know, it's very bold of them to do that, because as we all know, dancing is illegal in Mobile. So yeah. To put that play on, that's a bold move.
Clearly. Yeah, my friend's going to be the reverend. And actually, this is kind of crazy. Do you guys remember that 2011 remake of the movie? My friend from Mobile actually had a small part in that movie.
Wow. Really?
The remake of Footloose. Yeah, Jason Ferguson.
So. That's awesome. That's very cool. So Footloose will be in town for a while. You said they, I guess, get started tonight and run through June 26th. And there's just so much going on here.
Exactly. Yeah, tons of stuff. Yeah, Dustin Lynch coming to town, apparently. Small town boy. Be here tomorrow at OWA. It's another AFC Mobile game, which is minor league soccer. Yeah, there's tons.
The soccer's a lot of fun, too, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it is. It's really a blast. I mean, I guess right now it's the only sport we have, right? Yeah. That's a
team sport.
That type of sport, right? Because we don't have Bay Bears anymore. It's really fun. If you have any interest whatsoever, even if you honestly, here's the thing, even if you don't know much about soccer, there's the I think they're called the Causeway Rebellion.
Yeah, the fans.
Riddlers or Rebellion? Yeah. I think it's the Rebellion. There's like 50 people banging on drums and yelling at the other team and the players and blowing off smoke when we score a point. It's
great atmosphere.
It's really cool.
Yeah. Hey, Brooks, if folks want to find out more about the Rundown, get their event on the Rundown, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah. If they go to our website, is the easiest way, themobilerundown.com. And they can click around. They can suggest an event. They just go to the menu up at the top.
Right there. Thanks, Brooks. Appreciate it, man. Have a great weekend yourself.
All right, guys. Thanks. Y'all, too. Take care.
All right. Brooks Conkle, The Mobile Rundown. Check it out, themobilerundown.com. And we're on the way out. Jeff Poor on the way in with the Jeff Poor Show. Hear his commentary regarding the January 6 hearings last night. Also, State Auditor candidate Stan Cook coming on. And Huntsville Mayor Tommy Battle in the third hour. That'll be interesting to hear. Also, usual Friday guests, April Marie Fogle and State Senator Chris Elliott. Should be another great Jeff Poor Show.
Dan and Dalton back with you Monday morning. We'll start it up around 6 a.m. as always. And thank you for a great week, y'all. And have a great weekend. FM Talk 106.5.